You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is a glorious Friday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. The Sacramento Kings are back in action, looking to win their third straight and go two games over 500 with their battle against the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight in the queue. Sacramento, against the worst team in the Eastern Conference, good chance for a victory here tonight. Welcome, Kings fans, to Locked On Kings. This is your daily bite-sized podcast hub for the Sacramento Kings. If you're looking for coverage, in-depth interviews, conversation, hypothetical conversation, analysis, highlights, all of it. We got it all right here for you on Locked On Kings. So if you're new and you call yourself a Kings fan, you're absolutely in the right place. You're also in the right place for an entire podcast network. Check this out. In case you didn't know, you got Locked On NBA coverage. You got Locked On Fantasy Sports, Locked On College coverage. You got Locked On MLB, Locked On NFL. You really don't have any other place to go if you call yourself a sports fan. The Locked On Network has your back. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here on Locked On Kings. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK, which is the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. What are we going to tackle today? Plenty of stuff. First and foremost, look, we know the small forward position for the Sacramento Kings is the biggest hole on this team. Despite the fact that Iman Shumpert, I think, has been playing well in that position, and Bogdan Bogdanovic is capable of playing that position in a three-guard lineup consisting of De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, and Bogdan Bogdanovic, the small forward position going forward is still the biggest area of need for this Kings team. The Kings are the only team in the NBA right now with a boatload of cash and the ability to use it. Come this summer, come free agency in between the 2018-2019 season and the 2019-2020 season, a lot of teams have cash. So the Kings have a distinct advantage right now in terms of cap space, money, and cap situation. And I think they need to be taking advantage of that. So we're going to be in just a little bit discussing potential small forward trade targets that the Sacramento Kings can go out and get. I have one that I absolutely love, but a couple different options from one team in particular that we're going to dive into here in just a little bit. Also, of course, we're going to preview the Sacramento Kings and the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. That's coming up here in the next segment, followed by towards the end of the show, because we're heading into a weekend and there's no podcast coverage over the weekend. We'll also preview the Sacramento Kings and the Indiana Pacers as they're looking to make it two in a row and complete the season sweep over Indiana, as Indiana has swept the Kings in back-to-back seasons. So boy, would that be a nice way to respond. Bogdan Bogdanovic has talked a lot about how this team wants to answer for their mistakes last year, including teams that they failed to beat last season. So the Indiana Pacers are definitely in the Sacramento Kings crosshair. So a good double header for you. Friday night, Kings and Cavaliers. Saturday night, Kings and Indiana Pacers. We'll preview it all right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. So here we go, jumping right into the trade conversation. Like I just said, the Kings are in a very unique situation where they have cash to where they can absorb bad contracts and provide some much needed relief for a lot of teams. That relief is almost as valuable as a player or strong asset getting a strong asset back. I'm going to dive into the importance of cap space and cap situation from my ideal trade scenario towards the end here, but I want to talk about one team in particular that might be a good trade partner that has a boatload of options for the Sacramento Kings if they're trying to find a small forward. Really, there are four guys on this roster, and we know this roster is not good. They're struggling. They're god-awful, really. They're the worst team in the Western Conference. It's the Phoenix Suns. The Kings just smacked the Suns silly, allowed only 9 points in the first quarter, and then the Phoenix Suns only scored 9 points in the first quarter again last night in Portland. They're without their star in Devin Booker. DeAndre Ayton is not playing as good as they have expected him to. There's starting to be questions of his work ethic and his laziness, especially on a bad team. It seems like new head coach Igor down there is not faring too well in his first season. So a fire sale may be coming, or at least the doors are going to be opened into the trade market for the Phoenix Suns, excuse me. And if I'm the Sacramento Kings, I'm paying attention. I'm on the phone. I'm calling the Suns and I'm seeing what's available and what their asking price are. Four names. TJ Warren, McCall Bridges, Trevor Ariza, and Josh Jackson. all small forwards, all potentially available. And I've ranked them in a different order of what I would be interested in seeing. And if you want to provide your rankings for those four, if any of those targets really jump out to you that you want to, the Kings to go out and get, like Matt, they absolutely have to go out and get this guy. Tell me why on social media, at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Again, if any of these guys jump off the page for you as guys that the Kings need to go out and get, let me know. Social media, Twitter, email, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you can find me. Find me, let me know what you think. So let's start with TJ Warren specifically. TJ Warren, a 6'8 small forward, has been playing a mixture of small forward and shooting guard at times, is also capable of playing the power forward position. He is currently injured right now. He did not play in the game against the Kings or the Portland game that just passed, but he is someone that can score in bunches, someone who's going to be very, very intriguing for a team like the Sacramento Kings. You got to like his build. Like I said, 6'8", 215 pounds. He fits the target age range for what the Sacramento Kings are trying to do. Still very young, 25 years old. He was drafted in 2014, the 14th pick in the first round by the Phoenix Suns. He's averaging this season alone 17.7 points per game. He's shooting 51% from the field. He's a 45% three-point shooter, an 84% free throw shooter, an effective field goal percentage of 57.8. He also averages about four rebounds and an assist per game. He's not horrific defensively. He's not the best defensively either. He is currently in his fifth season with the Phoenix Suns, and he's coming off of a great year last year. He averaged 19.6 points per game on 49% shooting from the field for Phoenix. While his scoring has gone down in terms of points per game numbers, I attribute a lot of that to the fact that DeAndre Ayton is there now getting a lot of touches. His field goal percentage has gone up. So he's gotten more clinical, although he is scoring less and shooting less per game. But across the board, if you're looking for an offensive small forward to plug in, this guy's going to help you score points. Now, we know offense isn't necessarily the problem for the Sacramento Kings. Defense is the major question mark. So Warren is not the best option out of all of these in Phoenix to go out and get. Like I said, he's not a bad defender by any means. He's just not the best defensive small forward that you can go out and get out of this group with Phoenix. But if you want scoring, if you want to add someone who can space the floor and immediately help you in the scoring column to add on to the Kings' 113 points per game, TJ Warren is a great option. So, and he's my number one option if the Sacramento Kings were to go and ask questions of the Phoenix Suns. Now, he's also the one that I think the Phoenix Suns are going to try and hold on to the most out of all four. Option number two, and this guy's been in the news a little bit recently, is Mikal Bridges, because he had a interesting interaction with head coach Igor, I think it's Kokoschkov is how you pronounce the last name. I apologize if I mispronounced it. But Igor actually got in his face and stopped Mikal Bridges from leaving the game and just walking to the bench after being substituted. He just kept standing in front of him, would not let him pass, clearly was trying to tell him something. And based off Mikal Bridges, his body language, he wasn't having any of it. Now, I can understand there was frustration once again from the Suns getting their ass handed to him on the second straight night. They know that they've been an absolute disaster this season. And the players have to know by now that even this early into the season, even just over 20 games into the season, it's all about next year's draft for this Phoenix Suns team. So Mikal Bridges clearly not happy about that, recognizing there's still a lot of the season to go, but he's not having any of it. 6'7", 210 pounds, has been playing a lot of the shooting guard position actually for the Phoenix Suns, although he is most importantly, or most commonly, a true blue small forward. Not the best in terms of scoring. He's only averaging 6.8 points per game in 25 games. He's shooting 41% from the field. Not a very good three-point shooter at 31.2%. He's also a rookie. This is his rookie season. Only 22 years old. He was picked 10th overall by the Philadelphia 76ers in this year's draft. So remember, Mikal Bridges is young. He's trying to figure things out, and he's getting going. So this is someone with a high ceiling, someone who has a lot of potential as a good two-way small forward player. So if you're looking for a little bit more of a project, Mikal Bridges is potentially your guy. He can develop along with this young squad. He's not going to be one of those guys that you immediately plug into the small forward position and is going to have an immediate impact, although I I like his game. I like what he can do. Like I said, very good two-way player, or at least has the potential to be a very good two-way player. Has to improve on that three-point shooting, which is the biggest concern with his game. But again, he's only getting about 22 minutes per night. And with the Phoenix Suns, I hesitate to say that they're draft or they're developing him correctly with how bad this season is going. So still very young, very raw into his career. Those numbers can obviously go up. Not the best start to the season for Mikal Bridges, but a potentially nice fit for the Sacramento Kings. Trevor Ariza is a name that I brought up in free agency last year, or actually during the summer. And I was met with a lot of negativity on that idea for the Sacramento Kings from Sacramento Kings fans. They didn't like the age. They didn't like the potential contract. Now, Trevor Ariza signed a one-year deal with the Phoenix Suns. So if Trevor Ariza is somebody that the Kings want to go out and get and bring into this squad, you're probably looking to get another young piece alongside him, or maybe a draft pick in the future or something like that, because just bringing him in is not going to do much for you. Trevor Ariza would make this team better, and if they're trying to make a playoff push from the deadline on, Trevor Ariza might make sense just to add a veteran presence to this team, a consistent small forward that is a true small forward. And that's the big difference between what Trevor Ariza and what the Suns have versus what the Sacramento Kings have. I don't think he's that much better than Iman Shumpert, except for the fact that he is a true small forward and can guard and has guarded true small forwards in the past. So Trevor Ariza, a good veteran presence, has had a lot of success in this league, is capable of shooting the three-point shot, is having a decent season with Phoenix. His scoring is down from 11.7 last season to 9.7. He is shooting still decently, 36% from the field, 34% from three-point range. He's a good free throw shooter at 81%, also averages 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He does a lot of everything, but you're really bringing him in mostly as a defensive anchor and a veteran presence if you're trying to make a playoff run. Not the most exciting guy on the planet. I would actually rank him below Josh Jackson, who's the next guy we're going to be talking about here, even though a lot of people are really low on Josh Jackson right now. Josh Jackson was, of course, the pick before De'Aaron Fox, the number 4 overall pick in last year's draft. 6'8", 200 pounds, a true blue small forward, was expected to be someone who could come in and help with the scoring right away for Phoenix, and he's certainly dropped off this season thus far in the 25 games that he has played. As a rookie last season, he averaged 13.1 points on 41% shooting from the field. Is a horrible three-point shooter. Shot only 26% from three-point range last year. Is shooting only 25% from three-point range this year. His scoring is down to just 8.4 points per game. Is more of a slasher, certainly an athletic three, and someone that still has a lot of raw talent and raw potential. He's just 21 years old, is soon to be 22 here in the coming months. So he's definitely someone that you have to pay attention to, because things are down in Suns land right now, and I think Josh Jackson is down because of it. A lot of people are low on Josh Jackson because there's a massive spotlight on him right now with the fact that Devin Booker is hurt, and you thought he was going to be a great young piece with the number 4 overall pick to provide some much-needed scoring right away for this Phoenix Suns team. That just hasn't been the case. There's also a lot of competition at his position. And if you're looking at the minutes that he's getting per game, it's actually dropped off significantly. From 25 minutes per game to this season, he's just getting 19. So you really have to pay attention to what Josh Jackson is doing here in this season. Is he regressing? Is his attitude a question? Is he worth really the concern? I think Josh Jackson is a lot better than what he's showing. I think as of right now, he's a product of his very, very bad environment in Phoenix and would not be a horrible option for the Sacramento Kings to get. He's potentially someone that they could get on the cheap if the Phoenix Suns are really already scrambling and wanting to give up on him to try and gear up for their future. This all depends on if the Phoenix Suns are going into fire sale mode, which might very well be the case. So all 4 of these guys could be available from the Phoenix Suns, but all 4 of them are not my number one option. My number one option is a conversation that I've had a couple times here on the Locked On Podcast Network and on Locked On Kings, and a name that has floated around Kingsland for quite a while. The Kings wanted to go out and get this guy in free agency. Ultimately, it fell through as the Washington Wizards decided to pick him back up, and that's Otto Porter Jr. Now, the Washington Wizards are playing better, certainly a lot better than how their season started. We were talking about firing Scottie Brooks right out of the gate and completely blowing that team up. Now, that still is potentially in the balance, as Washington is definitely not at the spot that they want to be, but they are playing better basketball right now. The reason why I think the Washington Wizards are going to be the ideal trade partner for the Sacramento Kings is their cap situation and their cap situation alone. The Washington Wizards are going to be looking at cap space relief as more valuable than a player. And that's just because of how their cap situation changes from this year to next year. They're already over the luxury tax this year. That's not going to get any better next year. As John Wall's contract, remember he signed that massive deal just a little while ago with Washington. His contract jumps from $19 million this year to $38 million next year. Now, I had a conversation in detail about their cap space situation with James Hamm before Sacramento Kings game on game night. You can go back and listen to that conversation on khdk.com, or better yet, head over to NBC Sports and read the article that James Hamm put out about potentially Porter being a target for the Kings and about the cap situation in Washington. But if I can summarize it for you, essentially, if they stuck with their core roster right now heading into next season, six players would already put them over the cap. Now, if you go over the luxury tax, which they would eventually ultimately have to fill out the rest of their roster, if you go off or go over the luxury tax in back-to-back seasons, the luxury tax gets extremely painful. Essentially, if they had the same payroll or similar payroll as this season, going into next season, they would have to pay an extra $18 million of luxury tax. That's a penalty of $18 million. That's a contract of extra money that comes out of the ownership and out of Washington's pocket just because of the talent and the money that they have currently on their roster. Now, we can all agree, based off of how they are playing right now and their likelihood of making it to a finals, let alone winning an NBA finals, that paying that much money to all those players isn't worth it. You're just basically keeping a core together for multiple years that, I mean, it's essentially the Los Angeles Clippers of a little while ago, but not as entertaining to watch, right? John Wall's on the decline. Otto Porter is really on the decline. Bradley Beal is the guy that I like the most out of all of them, and he's still a very good piece. He might be the most logical piece for the Washington Wizards to try and hang on to. But essentially, the Kings, like I said, are in that unique cap position to where they could take on Otto Porter's contract, and they could take, which is around $27 million per year for the next few years, and they could take on another bad contract on top of that, like a Mahimi or anybody else that Washington wanted to throw in to sweeten the pot, that would ultimately free them of this heavy cap so that they could potentially try and fix their issues either in the trade market going forward or in free agency next season. It just opens up and it removes the shackles that are currently around that franchise's ankles. Otto Porter is a fantastic pickup for me. It's obvious the Sacramento Kings are very interested in him. This is my number one grade A golden standard option that I would love to see the Sacramento Kings go out and try and pursue, because you're getting a two-way player that immediately is going to help you right away. Yes, I'm aware of his contract, and I know that contract scares some fans, but that's the kind of money that you are going to have to throw around at a Tobias Harris or someone else in free agency this upcoming summer anywhere. And even that, I don't think gets the job done because of how well Tobias Harris is doing in LA with the Clippers right now. It makes sense to bring in Otto Porter. He's a good defensive player, and he's a fantastic shooter. Now, his three-point shooting is down from 40% last season to 35% this season. Or rather, he was shooting, 44% last season to 35% this season. His scoring is also down from 14.7 points last year to just 12 points this season. He is shooting 48% overall from the floor, averaging 4 attempted threes per game and making about 1.4. But he also provides so much other statistically. He gives you 5.7 rebounds and a couple assists per game, averages currently this season around 30 minutes of contest. This is a guy that you can plug into this Kings team, and I think he helps this Kings team right now. The contract situation is okay for what the Kings are trying to do, and most importantly, he fits the mold of what the Kings are trying to do, which is be young and develop a unit, a group together. He's 25 years old. He'll be 26 by the start of next season. He immediately fits what the Kings are trying to do. Like I said, you have the longevity of contracts, so you're not worried about him walking in a year or two, or then you're not worried about paying too much and then losing him after just one or two seasons. And, like I said, I think he immediately addresses every issue that the Sacramento Kings team needs. He's a good defender. He immediately helps you defensively, and he spaces the floor, which If you're looking for a scoring small forward, the best thing you can get out of a scoring small forward for this Kings team with the way they play is shooting. Otto Porter is the ideal fit for this Sacramento Kings team going forward in the trade market. And in my opinion, there's nobody better that you can go out and get. If I'm the Kings, I'm doing everything in my power to leverage my cap availability and leverage my just wave that key to the shackles of the Washington Wizards. Just wave it in front of their face back and forth. Say, hey, we know you're in trouble. We can help you, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you Otto Porter. And leverage may come with time. The Sacramento Kings, that offer may not be available right now because Washington, and we've heard that the Kings have been interested, and then Washington came out and said that they're not interested in moving Otto Porter, which is just a lie. They're trying to raise his value because they know that they need to get out from underneath this heavy, heavy tax penalty that they're already suffering, let alone it's going to get even worse next season. They need to get out from underneath that. They got to get rid of somebody. Otto Porter seems like the obvious choice, and the only team that's really wanting to help you is the Sacramento Kings, or really able to help you is the Sacramento Kings. And the Kings, it's clear who the Kings would want, ideally. So Otto Porter makes the most sense for me. I think this is a move that eventually will go down and will happen. If you like any of these names that I brought up, let me know. At MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also reach me on Instagram, MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also reach me via email, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. So the Sacramento Kings are in Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers tonight, the worst team in the Eastern Conference. Game two of their four-game road trip. The Kings looking to win their third in a row and go two games over 500, looking for win number 13 on the season. I'm going to start things out with some good news. Just found out via the Sacramento Kings that Marvin Bagley is probable for tonight's game, so most likely he will be playing. He will be returning from that back injury, which is fantastic news for Sacramento Kings fans and the Kings themselves. Marvin Bagley has been playing fantastic basketball as of late. Again, he tweaked his back during the Los Angeles Clippers game in the second half of that game. Did not play the next two games against the Pacers and against the Phoenix Suns, but that was okay. The Kings erring on the side of caution and have been taking their time, taking advantage of the fact that the Kings have had a good amount of days off so far for this road trip and travel days and rest days and some practice days. So they're getting him back to full strength. He's going to be coming back most likely tonight. Again, he is probable tonight for the game against the Cleveland Cavaliers, which means more likely than not, he is going to be playing and suiting up and getting his minutes back, and I expect him to jump right back into that off-the-bench role that you've been seeing a lot of so far. Dave Yeager likes to err on the side of caution when it comes to injuries with this Kings team, but expect Marvin Bagley to be back and good to go this evening. The Kings taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are the second-worst scoring team in the NBA, the second-worst team in general in the NBA. They average only 102 points per game. To put that in perspective, the Kings scoring, it was at 113, but thanks to the Phoenix game, has gone up to 114 points per game, which is good for sixth in the NBA. So the Sacramento Kings should be able to run all over this Cleveland Cavaliers defense, score a lot of points. The Cavaliers really got nothing. I mean, and I'm trying to say that in the nicest way possible. They really just don't have much. You're looking at the fact that they're missing their guy and their leading scorer in Kevin Love. He's gone till 2019, really. He's going to be out for quite a while. They do have Colin Sexton, who's got some potential. Jordan Clarkson as well is going to be probably their biggest scoring threat. You do have to pay attention to Tristan Thompson. The fact that he is going to be prowling the paint as a great rebounder on both ends, defensively and offensively. So Tristan Thompson is going to be one of those guys that can potentially get a lot of second chance opportunities for this Cleveland Cavaliers squad tonight. So that's really the one area of an advantage that I can see the Cleveland Cavaliers having. Other than that, I mean, we're seeing George Hill take on the Kings again, so maybe a revenge narrative there, although I don't have very high expectations for that. Overall, the Sacramento Kings should wipe the floor with the Cleveland Cavaliers, just like they wiped the floor with the Phoenix Suns. Now, I'm not predicting as big of a blowout, but after the multiple days off, what they did to Phoenix, the fact that they're on the road against a weak Eastern Conference team, the Sacramento Kings should win this game, and anything less than a W would be extremely disappointing. So, in my opinion, this shouldn't be that close. I mean, if the Kings win by 10 or more, fantastic. If the Kings win even by, if it's just by 1 point, you know what, it's fantastic. Any win is good. A win is a win. I know that's a cliche to say, but ultimately, with Marvin Bagley returning, with the fact that there's no Kevin Love for this Cleveland Cavaliers team, there's really no talent overall and camaraderie with this Cleveland Cavaliers team, the Sacramento Kings should be winning this game. But remember, teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are 5-19, who are struggling all season long, look at matchups at home against the Sacramento Kings and think, okay, this is a winnable opportunity for us to get things back on track. They're not going to take the Kings lightly, and I don't think the Kings should take the Cavaliers lightly, just like they didn't take the Suns lightly. If they come out of the gate similar to how they came out against Phoenix, pedal to the metal, step on the throats right away, and take advantage of the fact that this team struggles to score, take advantage of the fact that they do not shoot the ball well whatsoever, especially from three-point range. You need to make sure that this team does not get their opportunities. They take the fewest three-point shots in the league. So perimeter-wise, you don't have too much to worry about. The Sacramento Kings are number two in three-point shooting percentage, so I want to see this Kings team establish themselves offensively. Again, rebounding is one area where they might have a slight advantage, but it's only slight. It's not going to be all that significant. So pay attention to Tristan Thompson and second chance opportunities. If the Kings move the ball and continue to play well and take care of the basketball also, this shouldn't be a close game at all whatsoever. Finally, it's another back-to-back for the Sacramento Kings as they will be taking on the Indiana Pacers for Game 3 of the road trip on Saturday. Now, one thing we know for sure about this matchup is the fact that Victor Oladipo will not be playing. He is expected to miss the next two games, which is also a back-to-back for Indiana, so they will not have the rest advantage at home versus the Sacramento Kings because they are taking on the Orlando Magic tonight. As of right now, the Pacers are 4-4 so far without Victor Oladipo this season. So a 500 team without him. They only lost by 1 point to the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento. So there's a revenge narrative there. They want to make sure they're not swept. They are a playoff team in the Eastern Conference. They want to make sure they're not swept by the Sacramento Kings. But the Kings will have Marvin Bagley for this game. They did not have him in the game in Sacramento last week. So that's a distinct advantage for this Kings team that they're hopefully going to be looking to exploit and take advantage of. So if I'm the Kings, knowing that Victor Oladipo is out, knowing that Marvin Bagley is going to be back, or we assume he's going to be back here tonight, I'm looking at this Indiana Pacers game as also another chance to get a good win, and then you're staring at a potential 4-0 road trip. Again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You still have to take care of business against the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, but good opportunity for the Kings to really put the hurt on the Indiana Pacers because they are once again going to be without their star, Victor Oladipo. So we will come back on Monday and recap both of these games, tonight against Cleveland and tomorrow against Indiana, so you can definitely look forward to that. I want to thank each and every single one of you that listened to the podcast here today and listened all week long. Back for another week of Locked On Kings starting on Monday. If you like the conversation that we had in regards to trade assets or targets that the Sacramento Kings can realistically go out and try and get either from the Wizards or the Phoenix Suns, let me know on social media at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me, mgeorgesacklocalmedia.com. Feel free to tune into KHDK a little bit later on today as I'm going to be hosting Game Night, the Kings pregame show before Kings and Cavaliers. I'll be hosting that with the High Flyer Henry Turner from 3 to 4 o'clock. So please tune in and be a part of that show. I would certainly appreciate it. Until next week, my name is Matt George. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.